Our text for this morning is the Gospel reading from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. I read for you again verses 29 through 31. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, you may also note that today we are observing with the rest of our Synod Lutheran Our Ministry Sunday. And I have to say, I think that if Peter and James and John were here today, they would be into Lutheran Our Ministries. Lutheran Hour Ministries is no longer just about the Lutheran Hour radio program, although it is the longest-running Christian outreach broadcast and continues to be heard by over 51 million listeners each week. But now, Lutheran Hour Ministries also provides devotions in print and online, like the Lent devotions you can pick up as you go today, and Project Connect booklets about life and faith issues, and witnessing training programs for adults and for youth, and mission trips involving people with 34 mission centers around the world that are involved in a variety of culturally relevant activities. And through their website, lhm.org, there's also Men's Network, which provides Bible study resources and other resources for individuals and groups that connects them to things of man stuff, you know, fishing contests, and you can even get an official man card. Well, at the same time, Lutheran Hour Ministries is not just for men. I think that's why it's no longer called Lutheran Layman's League, because it's not just for lay men anymore. It's both and. And so I think Peter, James, and John would be into Lutheran Hour Ministries. Well, we know they obviously like the fish. And according to our text, they like camping in the mountains and other guy stuff probably. But at the same time, they're into learning about Jesus and being trained for evangelism and praying. Even though, like a lot of men who work outdoors, if they sit still for 5 minutes, they fall asleep. But especially because God uses them wherever they are to tell people about Jesus. So, Lutheran Hour Ministries is about both men's stuff and sharing the gospel in every way possible. And in our text for this morning, we see a variety of both ands. Those seeing Jesus' glory also speak of his death. Those listening to Jesus now also talk about him. And those wanting to stay have God stay with them. Let's think first about how those who see Jesus' glory speak of his death. As he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. One of the things that LHM's Men's Network is about is a support group for those facing the challenge as living as God's men in today's world. I think that sort of thing is happening here on this mountain. Jesus is God's ultimate man, and he is facing challenges, not just the challenges of life, but the challenge of death. And as we begin our Lenten journey, as we walk toward the cross this week, we see how after this turning point, Jesus also heads toward the cross. One of the things that prepares Jesus and his disciples for this is the Father's affirming voice and the glory that shows, which is always there, but is usually hidden. Because Jesus is true God at the same time that he is true man. This is the only reason that his death has any power to save us. So on this mountain, there is just a peek, a preview of the glory that's in store for him but also for us in heaven. From here, from this mountaintop, Jesus can see where he's going, however, and that's the cross. And so, the appearance here of glory leads to a discussion of death, by which Jesus is truly victorious and glorified. And our text says Moses and Elijah talk with him about the departure that he is about to accomplish. His death is an accomplishment. It's not a defeat, but it's the greatest accomplishment because it's the ultimate death to end all deaths. Now, this is not the first that Jesus has discussed this. The very first verse of our text includes the phrase, "after these sayings." That's a hint that in the verses just before this, Peter has affirmed Jesus is the Christ of God, and Jesus has responding by talking about how now he's going to suffer and die for us. Moses and Elijah, as they discuss this, refer to it as his departure. The Greek word, the language it was written in, the Greek word for departure is Exodus. Moses knows a lot about Exodus. That is, going through plagues and night of terror and through the middle of the Red Sea and the barren wilderness and ending up finally in the Promised Land, which he, like us, only gets a peek of before his death. Elijah, too, knows about mountaintop experiences like defeating the prophets of Baal with fire falling from heaven before going into the valley of despair and yet finally being taken up to heaven. Both their words here and their lives and ministries before pointed to salvation through Jesus' death and our way of following him through suffering to glory. This is why we continue to come to this place of retreat, not just to rest, but to pray and to worship and peek again at where we are headed while going through our difficulties, which will not last, but which cannot be skipped over. But we also come here, like Jesus and the disciples, to prepare for our next task. Those listening to Jesus now talk about him. About 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. A cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. Now, I don't know what time of year this happened, but I have to wonder if it wasn't maybe in the 7th month of their year. That was when there was a series of special Jewish festivals. It began with the Day of Trumpets. That was a reminder of when they had come to Mount Sinai, and God spoke with a voice like a trumpet from the top of Mount Sinai, from the midst of a glowing cloud. Then came the Day of Atonement. That was the day in which they confessed their sins, and the special sacrifices were offered, even for the high priest, before he entered that one day of the year into the Holy of Holies, the place of God's glory, to sprinkle the blood of a special sacrifice. Then came the Week of Tabernacles. I like to call it National Campout Week. That's not what they called it, but it's when they lived outdoors in booths or tents or shelters they had made of branches because they were remembering how God took care of them when they were traveling through the wilderness. You notice the similarities. There's the voice from heaven. There's the glowing cloud showing God's presence. There's a special death to pay for sin. There's the idea of building shelters. Well, on the 8th day, the last day of Tabernacles, there was a special assembly to listen to the law of Moses being read. I think it is no coincidence that the first verse of this text says it happened on the 8th day. But on this day, instead of listening to the law of Moses, God speaks and says, "Listen to him," that is, Jesus. Now is the time to listen to the gospel. because this is how we get to the new promised land. As only a few went up into the presence of God when they were back at Mount Sinai, and only a few disciples went along to see this, verse 36 says, they didn't tell anybody about it in those days. But it's obvious that they did tell somebody about it, because here it is written down for us by Luke. When the time came, then they talked. It is time to talk. It is time to tell people about Jesus, about his glory, and his death. Moses and Elijah came to speak about what Jesus was going to do. The Father spoke from heaven, affirming everything that Jesus had been doing, which was right. Now it's our turn. Now it's time for us to speak as well. This is why we have a recognition of Lutheran Hour Ministries, and why it does the different things that it does, and why we all do the various things that we do here as we go on from this place, back down the mountain, so to speak, in our daily lives. Because it is time to proclaim from the mountaintops, and to those who are in the valley of the shadow of death, who Jesus is, and what he does for us. He is true God. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. But he has humbled himself. He has turned off his glory to suffer and to die to take away our sins, so that now our lives can be transformed. We can look forward to seeing God, and his light shines through us as well. But this is hard for us to do. Maybe it seems to us it's harder for us to go and talk about Jesus than it was for Jesus to go to the cross. This is why those wanting to stay with God have God stay with them. Verse 32, now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. Jesus regularly went for an intensive time of prayer before doing things, like he did in the Garden of Gethsemane, because he knew that he did nothing by himself. Everything he did together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. How much more is this true of us? We need God's presence and his power for everything that we do. This is why Jesus took Peter and James and John with him to train them to prepare for everything with prayer. But even such prayer is sometimes hard for us, like for these disciples. No wonder they fell asleep here as they did in Gethsemane. But Peter is always ready to do something, even if he doesn't know what it is that he's supposed to do. He says, oh, it's good for us to be here. But he doesn't say why. Good for who? Is it good that they are here to help Jesus and Elijah and Moses, to honor them by building some tabernacles? Or is it good for Peter, James, and John, that they are here to see his glory, and they think it's so good they just want to stay right here and camp out? Luke writes that Peter didn't know what he was talking about. But in the Bible, God often puts his words in the mouths of people who don't fully realize what they're saying. If we're going to talk about Jesus, we need God to do that for us too. It is good for us to be here with Jesus, seeing him in his word. Not just because we're here doing something for him, but so that he can do something for us, to enable us to go and share these things with others. The shelters that people built during the Festival of Tabernacles were to be a reminder of how when they went through the wilderness, they had whatever they needed, no matter how humble it was, because God was with them wherever they went as they traveled in their temporary shelters. He was protecting them. He was providing for them. He was guiding them the whole way. That's the takeaway of this experience for these disciples, that as they went, God himself continued to be with them. Not just when they get to glory, but in the daily grind. They would not stay here in temporary shelters, nor would Jesus stay in the temporary tent of his body, but he would go on to lead us through death to an eternal home, a home with foundations, the Bible tells us. Now we in the church today need and want to build not just holy huts where we can hang out by ourselves, but structures for sharing the glorious gospel so that others can be prepared for the difficulties ahead of them in their lives. Nothing that we build or do here is going to last, but because of what Jesus has done, our sins won't last. It's good for us to be here. Not because of anything we can do here for Jesus, but because of what he can do here for us, and in us, and through us, here, and wherever we are. It's time for us both to see Jesus and to talk about Jesus. So we see that those seeing Jesus' glory speak of his death, because it's what his death accomplishes that is the way to glory. This is what we want to talk about too. Those listening to Jesus now talk about him. Those who heard the Father say, listen to him, didn't talk about it right then. But now they have. And now it's time for us too to listen and to talk, to tell others about Jesus and the glorious gospel. Those wanting to stay with God, have God stay with them. We may have difficult challenges ahead. We may feel like just staying where we are. But we go out into the world. And we go on to the cross because God stays with us through life and through death and in his glory forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen.